A little burp there for the podcast.
Ooh, for that's gonna be our intro. Spinning newspaper. Kale burps in the face of Fraser.
I don't know. He could be into that.
Who knows?
No, it's Kelsey Grammer. He'd be like, "How unrefined." And then he would quote Shakespeare at me.
How dare you burp in my face on this day, St. Crispin's Day. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Praged and Confused. I am Ness Rocker, he, him.
I am Kale Brown, they, them.
Kale, how have you been doing since the first episode?
Someone suggested to me that Niles and Fraser might be Lich Lords or something. So that's just a thing that lives in my brain now.
I did see that animation. It's
very good.
It's
a worthy
good.
Kids. It was brought to my attention that Sideshow Bob's brother in The Simpsons is played by the guy who plays Niles.
David Hyde Pierce. Yep.
I will once again immediately forget that man's name.
That's okay.
Yeah, so that's all the Frasier-related news. Also, you sent me a clip of Kelsey Grammer inexplicably quoting Shakespeare in a cut scene from X-Men.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that last episode.
I don't think we did.
I'm going to insert that footage here.
Editor's note. I was wrong about this one.
But
I also edited the first episode. So I feel like I would remember if that was you definitely sent me that after because we were talking about Kelsey Grammer playing Beast.
I'm pretty sure we did because we also talked about David Hyde Pierce playing the Abe Fishman from Hellboy.
No, you mentioned that, and I said was a Fishman,
and you said there was a fish. Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
You were talking about things.
Okay, before we get,
I had no idea what you're talking about.
That's kind of the whole idea.
That's
of
the
this
premise.
Podcast,
the
right?
premise is that I don't know anything about anything, especially not about Fraser.
Speaking of things you know nothing about, it's time for a new segment on this podcast, and I call it "We're Listening."
Ness did not talk to me about any of this beforehand, so I'm also just along for the ride.
Yeah, I just got some feedback I did not share with you previously, and I figured let's record it and surprise you with it.
All right, sounds about right.
I did have one person on Twitter, because I asked for feedback today on Twitter, on the Fraged and Confused official Twitter. And, at Christo CS asked, is it pronounced Fraged or is it pronounced Fraged?
I don't fucking know. Fraged.
Phrased. Like dazed.
Yeah.
Or is it Fraged?
Okay, I thought you were just doing a higher or lower register thing like Fraged. Fraged. I was like.
Phrased.
Or I don't know. That's up to you.
Yeah, this was a bit from the trailer. I think we did cut that out of the. We didn't have that in the final episode. I don't think, did we?
Yeah, we cut that out. I think we.
Yeah, I made a little trailer before the first episode came out, just to share with people kind of what it was all about, and it was us discussing
if it was phrased or phrased. Yeah. Also, we should shout out our new art.
Absolutely, yeah. So our new art, we actually have a little logo art thanks to Ben, and I forget his Twitter name, but if you'll stall for me,
I won't. I won't stall for you. That's not a gift I will do you. In fact, I am actively not stalling for you right now.
You're committing podcast crimes as we speak. this entire concept relies on improv, and you immediately led with a no.
Not even a no, but just a no period.
No, full stop, no. And that art was by Ben. He goes by at BenVanD1.
The funniest part is I knew that Twitter. And I didn't help you.
Anyway, so that was the only Twitter question. And what's the conclusion there? I say phrased.
The conclusion is we're going to continue to argue about which one it is forever.
That's fair. Say it however, it's art, right? Yeah, what we're doing is real art, so the way you interpret it is correct. It's pronounced Lalik. Yeah, that's the winner right there. Okay, and then I had a couple of other people to give me some feedback, but they didn't know that this was going into the show, so I'm going to make up names for them.
Okay, so...
Kentucky Fried Colonel says, "The job y'all were trying to think of was home health aide. I'm going to insist that personal care worker, or whatever, is only a Canadian thing."
Is it? It's a personal support worker, a PSW. Is that only Canadian?
I think it is only Canadian.
I am looking that up now.
Yeah, for sure. I'll stall for you.
Excellent work.
Oh, no problem. But thank you. That was an incredibly pedantic thing to correct us on. And
it feels
that is in the spirit of Frasier.
It feels appropriate. Is it just Canadian?
I believe so, yeah. Home health aide is what I've always heard.
What the fuck?
I couldn't think of it at the time for some reason.
What the hell? Oh my god. Okay, yeah, I guess PSW is just Canadian.
How about that?
What the hell?
But you can still refer to
I'm gonna Daphne continue calling her personal support worker.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe she's Canadian. Who knows?
Who knows? And the last one I have here is from Polo Loco. It says, "I've made up a drinking game where I drink every time you say the word interstitial."
You're gonna die.
Please do not do this. The first episode alone, although there are far less interstitial titles, but I think I've, between the two of us, we've said it at least three times already this podcast.
I don't know. I never remember anything I say.
That's going to be problematic when we continue the story of Frasier, which we're going to do now.
Here's the thing. I've decided that every time I get something wrong, it's because there was a writer's strike and they hired scabs who didn't know the lore.
Between the first two episodes of the series?
Look, it was a Rocky development.
No, they were developing Frasier. Rocky was a movie.
Who?
No, full stop. Okay.
All right.
Are you ready for this is the second episode of the sitcom Frasier ever aired. Are you ready for the title?
I mean, as ready as I have been for anything on this program.
That's fair. That's more than fair. The title of this episode is Space Quest.
Space Quest? Like the fucking Sierra Adventure, point-and-click adventure games?
That is the name of this episode, yes.
Okay, so we're getting fucking Roger Wilco up into the mix, apparently.
Okay, the first interstitial title, remember, it has an episode title, and it immediately begins with an interstitial.
Oh, that's right. It goes straight from that to the interstitial,
Yeah.
Why?
Do you need a quick rundown of who... Do you want to go back over, who some of the characters are, or...
Do you want me to tell you what I remember about the characters in this?
That would be great.
All right.
That would be great,
so,
yeah.
There's Frasier, obviously. Frasier, people like when he gets mad. He is a radio therapist, which I still think is irresponsible. He has Roz, who is his, who also works at the station, is probably his assistant or something. She's cool. She's unionized. She bid on the wrong thing in a silent auction for him, and he got mad about it, and that's why he was late meeting up with his brother to go to his own son's birthday at his father's house. There's Niles, who's always carrying tapas and wearing a cashmere sweater. Niles is happily married, and a lot chiller, like happily childless and married. Frasier is divorced and was married to Lilith and has a child named Frederick. And Niles' dad is Martin. Martin is an ex-cop who lives in a house that should be beyond his means, but maybe he was on the take. he has a personal support worker, who I will continue to call that, named Daphne Moon, who is otherwise a sensible lady, but also just very into, like, she believes she's a psychic. And she has something going on with Lupe Velez, who is Martin's cook. Lilith is Frasier's ex-wife. She is also a psychiatrist, because everyone in the show is a psychiatrist. And she is dating Eddie, who is just an overall nice guy and has a better rapport with Frasier's son than Frasier does. Did I miss anybody?
I mean, I don't think you did. Let me... No, I think that's all the characters we went over on the
I remember
first
the
one.
Dumb bullshit I make up.
It's all dumb bullshit you make up.
So I remember all of it.
There you go. Yeah, that was great. Okay. So the first interstitial title is, and we have three words for this. This is going to be I'll go ahead and tell you, there's really only three interstitial titles, but I'm going to give you four. Basically, think of it as a 30-minute sitcom, so these are like a third of the episode each, okay?
Okay.
All right, the first interstitial title is Dear God, It Wasn't a Dream.
Oh dear, oh. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to assume that the pilot is kind of a standalone. Like, it establishes character stuff, but it doesn't... It doesn't actually establish the beginning of a plot. Because I find pilots are usually pitched that way, where they are like, they may inform later things that happen, but they don't start a plot line. So you said it was Dear God, It Wasn't a Dream?
That is the interstitial title.
I'm gonna shoot straight with you. As soon as you said, "Dear God, it wasn't a dream," my immediate fucking thought was, "This is someone who has just woken up in bed with somebody who they did not expect to." Like, that was my fucking instant thought.
Okay, but who are they?
Well, I mean, "Dear God, It Wasn't a Dream" is 100% Frasier.
Okay, sure.
Because
for sure.
That's a Frasier thing. I'm just, my first stupid thought, which makes no sense for the 90s, because the 90s never would have done this, but this was just my immediate thought, was Frasier waking up in bed with Eddie, which is his ex-wife's boyfriend.
Oh no.
Which just tells you how my broken brain works, I guess.
Okay, so he wakes up. Dear God, it wasn't a dream. Eddie's right there.
Uh-huh. I feel like this is Frasier has misunderstood something.
Mm-hmm.
Frasier maybe hit the fine wine a little too hard, and Eddie's such a decent dude. He stuck around to make sure he didn't throw up in his sleep or something. Also, I've been sent three words. I've been sent ablutions, priggish, and Jeffrey Dahmer.
And as a reminder to the listening audience, I am off screen, or off ear, I suppose, prompting Kale with words that are from the actual section of the show. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this all makes sense, because we get this moment waking up, Frasier misunderstands, and has a little freak out until he realizes that, like, no, he just... But, yeah, that it's played as a joke. But it's actually just, you know what, he hit the Merlot a little too hard. He's inexplicably, it does not, like, he for about 30 seconds, it seems like he has a hangover. And then this sort of hand wave that. They sort of hand wave that. The ablutions is clearly, Fraser cannot talk about taking a fucking shower like a normal person.
True.
I feel like that's probably just canon to the original episode. I can just see Kelsey Grammer, yes, I did just forget his name, saying, I have to take my daily ablutions. I'm trying to remember what priggish means.
Okay, I got a definition here for you if you want.
Sure. Because it's a word I've seen before, but it's not one I've seen.
Self-righteously moralistic and superior.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah, that's just him. Him basically, he accuses Eddie of that for being a decent person. He's like, being priggish and basically he's gotten all defensive of like, as soon as he's realized it's not what he thought it was, he gets all defensive and shitty about it in a different way because this person is just a better person than him and is his fucking ex-wife's boyfriend and he's just generally being salty about it. Jeffrey Dahmer, I feel like, is him, this sort of scene going in and Eddie's being very nice and everything, and then fucking Fraser basically alludes to so they're each 10-minute segments. I feel like Lilith has come to pick up because this is in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So I think what happens is that you get the wake up there, you get this whole and Dubai ablutions, blah, 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 being all weird about it. Eddie's being super nice. Eddie calls Lilith. Lilith comes to pick him up. And Eddie's is gone out ahead to the car. And Lilith sort of stops by like, I wish you would at least like try to get along with Eddie. And Fraser has this whole thing of like, oh, you're like, yeah, he seems very nice and decent. So did Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, basically insinuating okay. that this
like
perfectly
that.
Nice man is secretly a serial killer.
That's and great. And honestly, that's really great. That could be a line of dialogue from a real sitcom.
I'm fooling you all into believing that I've seen a sitcom. Though I have been informed that apparently The Simpsons counts as a sitcom.
I wouldn't count it as that.
Okay, because someone was like, my brother-in-law was like, it is wild to me that you were talking about how you haven't seen any sitcoms, and then we're talking about Sideshow Bob, and I was like, what? Huh? What?
I wouldn't count The Simpsons as a sitcom, personally. I feel like sitcom, in my opinion, has to be a live action. Audience, yay or nay, is fine, but I feel like it has to be live action, character interactions, right?
Yeah, that's sort of what that was kind of where I was, but I don't know anything about sitcoms, so I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
Well, I think the idea of the situational comedy comes from the fact that, oh, these could be real characters we might not exactly relate to. Obviously, no one relates to Fraser, unless you come from a family of psychiatrists, but it's like, yeah, I could see that person existing, and I understand the situations he's getting into.
I cannot understand what the fuck their father has done to be a cop, a career cop, who somehow gave... I was about to say a career cop who somehow gave birth to two psychiatrists. He produced asexually. He budded like a plant and produced Fraser and Niles.
Well, I think we did talk about last episode. Did we talk about Fraser's mom?
I assumed she was dead.
Okay. I thought that's what you said. So, I mean, that's how, obviously, if you said it, that's how it happened. So.
Well, it's also, I assume we're going by Disney rules here, where Fraser is the protagonist, so one of his parents is dead.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. So, Lilith is trying to get him to get along.
Yeah.
And And he's like,
and then he says this, and then that's I think that's our scene there. We have our full sort of interaction. He says he needs to take his ablutions. He calls Eddie priggish, and Eddie while he's showering, Eddie calls Lilith to come pick him up, and then we get like she shows up. Eddie goes ahead, and Fraser tells Lilith that Eddie might secretly be like a serial killer, but basically, I think that is that.
All right.
Sort of establishing. What was this episode called again? Oh, Space Quest.
Allow me.
Space Quest.
All right. I think that is the first.
Okay. Scene. And scene. Okay. The next interstitial title is The Best Laid Plans, and it has an ellipse at the end.
Ellipses? Mm-hmm. Ellipsis? I don't know. Okay, The Best Laid Plans. All right, so we have had this. We're like, what the fuck happened? Why was he waking up with Eddie in his apartment? Like, what's going on? So, of course, we were doing a flashback to the night before.
Where are we doing this at?
Where
is Fraser?
Well, I have to figure that out. I think you're sending me things.
I will.
What? Why? Oh,
that's a line break. That's just a line break, so you can read the stuff easier.
Gotcha. So, The Best Laid Plans. So somewhere there was Lilith. Fuck it. What is it? Shit. Was it around in the 90s? I need to look something up very quickly.
Take your time.
Perfect. Okay. So they are at a some sort of like gala or something for the American Psychiatric Association, which was established in 1844. So I just had to make sure it wasn't more recent than that.
Okay. I'm going to have to, I hate to do it, but could you put that one in your back pocket, and can I steer the boat just once? Frasier has to go to work at some point in the episode recaps. I'm just saying, his job is a major focal point. That's maybe something you want to consider.
Okay, I didn't know that. You just told me something I didn't know.
Yeah, I feel like, well, the thing is, so there's something else I wanted to, there's two parts of why I bring this up. There is a new character introduced this episode. And he is a fellow co-worker of Frasier's at the radio.
Secondly, yes.
And I don't know if you want this one. And if you don't want it, that's fine. But the callers that call into Frasier's radio show are often celebrities. And if you'd like, I can tell you what celebrities called in that episode.
I'm learning so much.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. To make a podcast, you got to do podcast crimes.
And you've done crimes. You've done crimes. I have done crimes unto me. This isn't podcast crimes. You've done information crimes.
Yeah, I feel like. I mean, I didn't really tell you anything specific, but.
So we're pivoting. He's at work.
Okay.
But that night, he is going to a gala for the APA.
there you go.
I refuse to relinquish that.
No worries. So this new character, I'll go ahead and tell you his name.
Sure.
His name is Bob Briscoe.
Bob Briscoe.
And
who I'm going to forget and call Bob Crisco.
Well, here's the best thing. All the other characters usually refer to him by a nickname. Hey, Kale, what is that nickname?
It's Crisco.
It's Crisco. Bob Crisco Briscoe. Okay.
Well, now I have to check and make sure Crisco. Crisco was definitely around in the 90s.
Yeah. You act like I'm talking about the 1990s, not the 1890s.
How old is Kelsey Grammer? I have no concept of time, okay? Yes, okay. So it was. Crisco was made in. 1911, 110 years old, which is almost as old as Kelsey Grammer.
Almost.
Kelsey Grammer, if you're listening to this, I am sorry.
I am also sorry. Please don't listen to this.
Please turn off the podcast right now. I'm begging you.
Oh God. I started sweating at the thought of Kelsey Grammer listening to this podcast. I'm not even joking.
Oh no.
Anyway.
Imagine he did though.
No. Okay. Anyway, he's at work.
All right, he's at work. He's thinking he has a. I think he's like. He's going to go home and change anyway, but he's still dressed unnecessarily nicely in anticipation. And like Roz comments on it as he comes in, and he's like sitting down, he's going to do his work. He's had, so I think he is still going to the APA, but this was not a flashback then. He has had a weird morning and doesn't want to talk about it, and it's like a running kind of joke. Like as callers call in. I think people like instinctively do that whole like, oh, how's your day been? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. And then like, no, let's focus on your issue, whatever. I don't know how fucking radio psychiatrists work. Talk what?
I don't think anyone does. Do you want to know who the caller is?
Sorry, you just sent me the word thick.
Yeah, that is one of the words. Do you want to know who the caller is? The celebrity caller? Or I can let it be a mystery.
Thick. Hey, Ness?
Yeah.
Thick.
Thick. This is right. The traditional spelling of thick, and also being the 1990s, probably does not have the same connotation that you're thinking of.
Also, Frasier seems like the fucking whitest show in all of time.
It's funny you should say that. Put a pin in that one, buddy.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. Okay. All right. So tell me, who is this celebrity?
Oh, so when they're calling in, they're just acting like normal people calling into his show. But the celebrity voice was Christopher Reeve.
Is that Superman?
Yeah.
Okay, I was sitting here like, I'm going to fuck this up.
You didn't.
I don't know what he sounds like.
That's okay.
Tall, I assume. Okay. So, but they're calling in, they're calling in anonymously. They're not actually playing themselves.
Correct, yeah. They're just playing random bit characters. But it was fun. It was like a thing for Frasier to have, like, these random celebrities call in as these weird people. And, I don't know, you didn't know, if you didn't recognize the voice instantly, they showed it at the end, in the credits, who the voices were.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, so, he's at his job, the best laid plans, we have Crisco Briscoe, there, who... Can I ask what he does? Like, what his job is?
You can ask. Am I allowed to tell you?
Yes.
He, okay. He, runs a sports radio show.
Okay, okay. So this is not exclusively a psychiatry-based, radio station.
No. It's...
Look. The concept of Frasier is already fucking wild.
I know it is.
So, this man is a psychiatrist with a psychiatrist ex-wife and a psychiatrist brother whose wife is probably also a psychiatrist.
You I don't think you've said what Niles' wife does.
She's a spiritual medium.
Wow.
And a psychiatrist.
And a psychiatrist.
Okay. All right. Best laid plans. This is perfect because you best laid plans me when I tried to make this a gala.
That's true.
So, but now do I have to figure out, because like there's no intuitive way for me to know what these people are calling in about.
No, there's not. You, and you don't have to describe it. really. It's not important to the episode, the actual psychiatry advice people are given or...
Is it important at all to actual Fraser?
I'm probably not supposed to tell you, but no, not really.
Okay, that's what I was expecting. Just purely, despite the fact that the show is all about this, it is just incidental.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny. Okay, so actually, I think I have made a decision. Because I am able to make things plot relevant.
Sounds like you need a wrench.
All right, give me that wrench. I mean, that's just... Okay, Ness has just sent me the phrase hothouse orchid, which is just, I think, Fraser describing himself in the booth. Because I can just picture him in there, because hothouse orchids are, like, fragile little things. I feel like he is... I feel like Crisco there is being very... Like being friendly and stuff. I think a running theme in the show is that people around Fraser are very nice, and Fraser is a dick to them.
And he's just like Fraser's somehow... just insufferable amidst all these people who are incredibly nice to him. I like that.
Yes. So I think Crisco is like a super nice dude, and he's like trying to bond. And then he like is, you know, trying to be like, because he's a really sporty guy. He like. Oh, it, like, basically, right as soon as we meet him, we find out that he's, like, he was definitely, like, on, he was, like, in track, he was on the football team and everything. Like, he was definitely, like, a really, really sporty guy back in, like, college for Americans. He just sort of acknowledges that he's like, oh, I understand. If you're, maybe you're not as athletic, but we can all enjoy the game. And of course, Fraser completely takes this the wrong way, and has a little like shitty moment where he's like, I think probably either talking to himself or Roz about how like.
I was gonna say, so he takes it the wrong way because of the encounter he had that morning.
I was going to say he takes it, well, partially that he's already primed to have that kind of thing, but also
kind of in a shitty mood.
Yeah. He started off very much on the wrong foot. And he has this sort of shitty like response, because he basically says that, Crisco is treating him like a hothouse orchid, like something very like fragile that requires a lot of like maintenance and whatnot. Because orchids I think are notoriously a little bit fidgety. You have to be very careful with them.
That is correct. That has nothing to do with Fraser. I can confirm that.
Yes. So I think that's where that comes in. And then as he goes to start his job. His actual job here. I think the thickness comes from... So I'll get into the relevancy. The person who calls in for psychiatric advice keeps using sports metaphors to describe, like, as they're trying to explain, like, this is the situation. It's a bit like... Like, you know, it keeps, like, using metaphors, and Fraser clearly doesn't understand, but is absolutely fucking unwilling to ask anyone for help, especially not Crisco, because I know this is his thing here, and he's, like, just trying to, like, pretending he knows what it means. And I think the thick refers to the glass of the booth is thick enough that Crisco can't hear him, and thank God for small favors type thing.
Oh, okay.
So he's muddling through when he could just, you know, like ask the person on the radio for an explanation or ask his very informed colleague who is very nice. Because, I mean, you can be like, bear with me, listener, for a moment. Sure. Like, that's a thing you do.
And I'm just curious, Kale, what does Bob Crisco Briscoe, what is he wearing? What's he look like?
This is the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So despite the fact that they are in a radio station, he is wearing a whistle on a lanyard. He's got a whistle, like, with his, like, employee badge. And then he's in, like, some nice pressed khakis and, like, a polo. So, like, he looks decently, but a lot more casual than Frasier, for sure. Just, like a kind of sporty guy. Like, decently well put together, but definitely, like, a lot more, like, sporty, kind of outdoorsy. And you can tell that Frasier judges him for it, even as he is sweating through his nice wool suit.
Okay. And then after this, they go to the gala.
You have only given me two words. I thought you had three for me.
It's going to be 2 to 3.
Ah, okay, okay.
Sometimes there's just not any, like, good word. Like, I would consider any words that kind of stick out to me as I'm rewatching the episode, right?
Gotcha. All right, so, yeah, that I think that's that. And then we'll see whether or not he goes to the gala. The gala may just be something that is referenced as a thing he would do but never actually invoked. And then it could be a running theme, because that does seem like something Frasier would do, where it would just be constantly talking about all of the galas and events that Frasier goes to, and then just never actually just showing any of them on screen.
Because there's no budget in the TV show. It's the first season.
Exactly. Exactly, yes. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay. So third interstitial title.
Yeah, I have to send this one to you. And I'm taking this straight from the episode. I have no opinions one way or the other about this one.
Uh-oh.
The interstitial title is A Couple of White Guys Sitting Around Talking.
Oh, okay, yeah. Couple of white guys sitting around talking. Okay. That's such a fucking departure from every other interstitial title.
The episode is called... Well, you know what it's called.
Do I? I've forgotten. Space Quest. But I'm not convinced that is relevant to anything.
That was the point I was trying to make. It may or may not be relevant. The interstitial titles may or may not be relevant.
What the fuck is this show?
It's Frasier.
All right. I'm going to make it relevant.
All right.
I need to check something.
Go ahead.
I'm Googling a lot.
I'm just queuing up your next words.
Okay, for those not aware, Space Quest is a series of science fiction adventure games. They're like comic adventure games. Okay, they came out between 1986 and 1995, so they were out when this show came out, I think. Which is a fucking wild pull if it was on purpose.
Frasier, the first episode of Frasier debuted September 16th, 1993.
Yeah, so the fucking Space Quest series was out. But, I mean, I extremely fucking doubt that the actual thing is a reference to it.
It's up to you to decide.
But it is much funnier to me. I am going to do a hard swerve here.
Ooh.
So we're getting all this set up that we're going to see Frasier going to the gala. And then it swerves and we find out that Crisco and Eddie are friends. And the next scene doesn't even involve Frasier. It is just, it's a couple guys sitting around talking and it's just fucking Eddie and Crisco hanging out, fucking playing Space Quest and, like, shooting the shit, talking about, like, the days they had, because they both have, like, this kind of parallel narrative of, like, talking around, like, yeah, I mean, like, oh, yeah, it's my, my girlfriend's ex-husband, he's, like, a little bit prickly, but I'm really trying to get the guy to open up to me, and they say, oh, yeah, I've got, kind of this coworker at work. I was really trying to reach out.
They
to
don't.
Him, but,
oh, so they don't know that they're both talking.
They don't know.
About
they don't
Frasier.
Know that they're talking about the same person.
I love this. Okay, here's your words.
Egg Timer and Mr. Egghead. Okay. These are the two names that they're each using to talk about. So, I feel like Eddie's very sweet, not very smart. Kind of guy who just, like, looks at a thing and is, like if you try and ask him to, like come up with a name on the spot, he like looks and is like, microphone blanket. So when EE is talking to
I assume those are two things that you can see and in front of you.
Yeah. I'm in my sound booth here. I got my microphone. I've got my my moving blankets up on the wall is like sound dampening.
I had to clarify because at first I was like, is that a thing? I just don't get. But then I was like, oh, Kale is saying things that are in the room.
Yeah. Water bottle headphones. yeah. So I think they're like they're hanging out at like Crisco's house or something or apartment. It's Seattle. People have apartments. He's a bachelor. He's got like a bachelor apartment. When prompted, Eddie is like, I'm just going to call the guy Egg Timer. And that's how he's talking about it. And then just riffing off of that, Crisco is calling him Mr. Egghead because he's the psychiatrist. He's like the smart guy, sure. Right? So that's their kind of thing. And right as you think they're about to have this moment where they're like about to realize they're talking about the same person, they like obviously hit a point in the video game where like something exciting is happening, both get distracted, and that's like that's for your episode.
And they're like, what were you talking about? I don't remember either.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it's just a couple white guys, John, about it. Some space quest placement there. Managed to work Roger Wilco in there.
Yeah. I like it. Okay. And like I said, there are four interstitial titles. So this last one is kind of strange because it gives you the title and then it rolls credits while showing video. There's no dialogue. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So this is like a credit sequence.
The next one I'm about to give you. Yeah.
Yes. Gotcha.
Okay. And so all you have to do is just describe what characters are doing what while the credits are rolling.
Gotcha.
The last interstitial title is One Man's Storage Room is Another Man's Sanctuary.
One Man's Storage Room is Another Man's Sanctuary. Well, clearly, I feel like this is ironic. And again, this is because we have no budget. We see Frasier, who's very, very well dressed, and we see him popping into a side room. Obviously, I think it's like he's putting something there. It's like clearly like a coat check or something kind of thing, like a coat room. And then he is locked in, and over the entire course of the credits, it's very clear that he's been locked in a side room during this gala.
So we never see him at the gala. We just see like the aftermath of him pacing around the storage room.
Yes, and it's silently, it's like full Kelsey Grammer, like, physical acting.
And he steps on a bunch of rakes. No, sorry.
No, he goes through the stages of grief.
Hold on. Explain to me how he pantomimes the stages of grief.
No, like, you get the angry hammering on the door, but it's obvious nobody can hear him. Mm-hmm. You get the fervent like trying to open it kind of thing. You get the like the denial stages first, where he just like keeps going back and trying the handle, like, no, like surely not.
Yeah.
Surely, like lifting it up, trying to wiggle it, like, oh, like surely not. Okay. Then you get the anger stage. Then you get the
bargaining.
I believe it's bargaining. Mm-hmm. Where he's, like, clearly pacing and talking to himself. And then you just get, like, him with his head in his hands.
See, I like the idea of bargaining. Is he, like, he slips a 50 under the door to see and wiggles it around to see if anybody notices.
Okay, I will accept that suggestion. That is very funny. Then we just see him with his head in his hands.
Depression.
And then at the very end, right when the credit's about to stop, he's just sitting there, and then someone opens the door, and he looks up, the light crosses his face, and the episode ends.
the Amontillado.
Yeah, he gets Fortunato'd.
Excellent. Well, hey, that was episode two. Let me check.
There we go.
Okay, I'm looking at these story beats. I've written some comprehensive notes, and your retelling of the episode 2 Frasier is 1-to-1. That's exactly how it happened.
This is the most authentic Frasier podcast.
Yeah. Let's,
Absolutely. Oh my god, who gave you a soundboard?
I've had one for a while.
I know.
But, yeah, that's great. So, I'm thinking...
Would you like me to recap the episode?
Yeah, right? Go ahead.
All right, so we open... This is Space Quest. We open with... Dear God, that wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
And it's never established what happened the night before.
No.
Where we see Frasier, it like basically opens on a shot of him, like his eyes opening and then looking over, and Eddie's there and he has like a meltdown. And then it's like, it's made clear there's obviously been a misunderstanding, and he's like, I need to take my ablutions. He calls Eddie priggish for being just like a nice, helpful guy. Eddie calls Lilith. Lilith comes and picks him up. Frasier insinuates that Eddie is secretly a serial killer. End of scene. We cut to Frasier at his job at the radio station in Best Laid Plans.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Frasier's coworker, Bob Crisco Briscoe, who's just like a super nice, he's like the sports guy. He's like super nice, super jovial, really wants to be friends. And Frasier takes this the wrong way and basically thinks he's that this guy's calling him delicate. His caller that we hear, who is voiced by Christopher Reeve, is like a kind of emotionally constipated sports dude bro who can't stop using sports analogies that Frasier doesn't understand. And it's like increasingly clear that this could be resolved easily, but Frasier is too proud.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Crisco and Eddie hanging out because the twist, they're friends. They're both talking about Frasier, but don't realize they're talking about the same person because they both had like a weird day with this dude. And then we cut to the, and obviously Space Quest is there.
Space Quest is there.
And Roger Wilco is hanging out. And that's a couple of white guys just hanging around, just shooting the shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to the scene that takes place throughout the,
credits,
mm-hmm. which is Frasier getting locked in a side room at the gala and going through the 5 stages of grief until eventually being let out, but it cuts before we actually see him go to the gala. And it's a little bit horror movie-esque in a way that feels like it probably wasn't intentional, but looks that way, where it's like you just see the light of the open door across his face and his eye, like, shining in his eyes. And it's like, there's a little bit of a horror movie energy where you're like, who opened the door? But it's like, clearly wasn't intentional. Just because I feel like that's a thing that TV does sometimes. And you're like, this is way spookier than you intended,
to be. Yeah, it's great. Like I said, 1-to-1.
My perfectly, perfectly canonical retelling of Frasier episode 2, Space Quest.
This is the internet's only authentic Frasier podcast.
Frasier podcast.
Kale, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me as at Superhuman Foods on Twitter. Or if you want to listen to me make dumb bullshit up just for my own ends, I guess you could listen to Sinkhole, which is my podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you listen to Frasier and Confused and don't like it, maybe listen to Sinkhole, because it's nothing
so
like this.
It's so wildly fucking different. Also, if you came here because you listened to Sinkhole, hi, I'm sorry.
Yeah, imagine listening to like Sinkhole and then your like your Q&A that you did that was super professional and honestly at times really emotional, and then just fucking
my
listening
Q&A
to Frasier
where I
Confused.
Started it with a fucking weird press conference where I did everyone's voices in different accents.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to shout out.
That part wasn't emotional. I'm talking about like when you're talking about how the Sinkhole Yeah, you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah. But breathing space, breathing space.
In which you do a Southern American accent.
I do. SJ said it was okay. Yes, folks should go listen to Breathing Space. Breathing Space rules. My episode, the episode I'm in, just came out. And actually, the next episode that I'm releasing is one I edited. Because I got my little fingies into everything, if you let me. I'm like an ant. I will find my way into your cupboards and I will eat your graham crackers. I don't know where that fucking metaphor was going.
We're gonna cut a lot of this ending part out, by the way.
Yeah, just cut it all. It's fine.
You can find me. I am at NessRocker on Twitter, and that has a link to a bunch of my stuff. And then you can also follow the podcast on Twitter for links to wherever you can listen to it at FNCPod.
Yes. Phrased, and it's pronounced Lalique.
Phrased, yeah, exactly.
I feel like that should be our outro.
yeah, there you go. By the way, do you know how many episodes are in the first season of Frasier?
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess.
14.
Close. 24.
That's not close at all. That's so many.
And there are 24 episodes in every of the 11 seasons of Frasier.
Oh my god, I thought there were 6 seasons. There are 11 seasons?
There are 11 seasons. We're gonna do this forever. Thank you.